fiery horse with the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty hi-yo Silver, the Lone Ranger. With his faithful Indian companion, Tonto, the daring and resourceful masked rider of the plains led the fight for law and order in the early western United States. Nowhere in the pages of history can one find a greater champion of justice. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. From out of the past come the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse, Silver. The Lone Ranger rides again.
Come on, Silver. Let's go, big fellow. I'll Silver. Hooray!
Slumped in a chair, Sheriff Joe Hayes looked out of his office window into the Mountain City Square, where business places were just beginning to open for the day. The lawman, grown gray in service, was exhausted after a hard night on the trail, but neither age nor fatigue weighed upon him as heavily as his sense of failure. Once more, he had been outwitted by the Five Numbers, a gang of outlaws whose name derived from their habit of addressing one another as numerals during holdups. Chewing savagely on the stem of a cold pipe, the sheriff noted the approach of his daughter Cindy and her employer Ed Barron, the youthful editor of the Weekly Observer. He scowled as the door opened and Cindy greeted him.
Dad, you're here.
What happened last night, Sheriff?
Howdy, youngsters. What makes you act so surprised, lad?
We found a note under the door when we opened the office. It was signed the Five Numbers.
A note from them varmints?
Yes, Dad, and it said to ask you how you like to walk. What did it mean?
Well, I reckon I better tell you. They stole my horse last night while I was scouting on foot in Crooked Canyon.
Huh. It looks to me as though those owl hoots have connections right here in town. They seem to know every move you make.
Yes. I reckon that's so.
Some private agent should be working with you, Sheriff. Someone who's not known.
Who'd pay for a fellow like that? Not this county.
He might undertake the job for the reward the railroads are offering.
I don't want outsiders mixing in this. It's my job.
Sheriff, you've got to swallow your pride for the good of the community. I'm going to print a full page appeal for help. Other newspapers all over the West are bound to pick it up. Somewhere it should reach the right man.
Ed, you'll get me laughed out of office.
People are going to laugh at you anyhow. Now that you've lost your horse.
You can't print that.
I'll have to. It's news.
Ed, darling, it'll spoil everything for Dad. People will forget how he risked his life to protect them. They'll only remember him as the sheriff whose horse was stolen.
I'd like to overlook it, but I can't.
You can't. Thunderation, you own the Observer. You can do as you please.
No, Sheriff. I serve the public same as you.
Cindy! Are you going to let this whippersnapper pull a deal like that on your own father?
Oh, I can't help it, Dad.
You can tell him you won't marry him. And you won't if he makes a fool out of me. And I can stop you. No backstabbing polecat can have a daughter of mine.
Dad, don't talk about Ed like that.
So you're siding with him?
Be reasonable, Sheriff. Don't you see that it wouldn't do any good if I kept the story out of the paper? Those bandits wanted to get around, and they can find other ways of spreading
it. That's right, Dad.
Get out. Get out, both of you. I never want to see either one of you again.
That afternoon, a special edition of The Observer came off the press carrying the headline appeal, Cancel the Five Numbers. Its ink was still damp when a committee of citizens led by Judge Quincy Bolt and Ham Harker, a cafe-keeping politician, filed into the sheriff's office. Like a wounded grizzly, the veteran lawman faced them, growling.
Well, gents.
Sheriff Hayes, it's my painful
Cut
duty.
Cut that highfalutin lingo, Judge Bolt. What do you want?
Your resignation, sir.
Then you come to the wrong place. Nobody can take my badge.
Somebody took your horse, it seems.
Ham Harker, I've stood all the hurrahing I'm going to.
He's drawn his gun.
Put that revolver back, you old fool. You shoot one of us, you'll hang on your own scaffold.
Then you keep your chops closed, Harker.
Sheriff, it must be apparent to you that you failed in the performance of your duties. Besides that, you've made this town and county ridiculous.
Was it my fault someone sneaked away with my horse?
Well, perhaps not. But that call for outside help, which appears in today's Observer, brands you as incompetent.
That confounded editor got that thing up.
You are aware that if you won't resign, we can prefer charges and have you removed from office.
I savvy what you're up to. You want to get Ham Harker appointed in my place, huh? He's been after my badge ever since I licked him at the last election.
Mr. Harker has every qualification for the office.
Oh, sure, sure. He wears a white silk shirt and a broadcloth suit.
That's immaterial and irrelevant to the issue. Will you resign with dignity or...
Dignity be hanged. I'm sticking to my guns.
In one of the rooms in the Palace Hotel across the square, four hard-eyed men played cards. Leaning against the wall were a surveyor's rod and a tripod-mounted transit, which they frequently packed around as an excuse for activities. Actually, the guns, which rode low on their thighs, were the instruments of their trade.
Fellas, we sure set this town on its ears by rustling the sheriff's horse.
Wait, cut the noise. There's somebody at the door.
Yeah, it must be number one.
Oh, howdy, Ham. How'd you make out on the sheriff deal?
Old Hayes is too mule-headed to quit. But I'll soon be in. I got Judge Bolt and a lot of others working for me.
Well, if they can't push the old fella out now, they sure ought to be able to do it after we rob the P&K train. That'll make the honest Johns howl to High Sierra.
That'll be our last holdup in this county, boys. I aim to keep it right peaceable around here after I'm sheriff.
Yeah, we savvy, Ham. No fox ever makes a kill around his own den.
We'll use Mountain City as headquarters and build up four or five big gangs. Then we'll raid the rest of the country.
Yeah, all the way from the Missouri to the Rio Grande.
Hey, I've been wondering about that piece in the paper. Do you reckon it'll bring any private detectives to town?
Well, suppose it does. We're too slick to be caught. Now let's go over that train job again.
On a press night several weeks later, Ed Barron and Cindy were at work in the Observer print shop. A small steam engine puffed in a back room, turning the rollers on a battered hole press. As Cindy stacked papers, the editor examined a copy for legibility. Suddenly, he crumpled it and pulled a lever.
What's the matter, darling?
It's the ink, Cindy. I can't read a word of the print. But I guess that's as it should be. Newspapers are cowardly, heartless monsters.
Oh, Ed, that's no way to talk.
I should be kicked from here to Timbuktu for running that story about your dad. He's going to lose his job. And he's broken with you, much as he loved you.
Dad's a grand man in spite of his stubbornness. We'll make up again. But he'll never get over it if he's driven from office.
I know. It's a dirty shame.
I've heard him say that he'd a thousand times rather die with his boots on than lose his badge. And he would.
Oh, now, Cindy, dear, don't. Crying won't help. We've got to figure that... Say, there's somebody in the other room.
Ed, it's a masked man.
My gun, it's up in front.
Never mind the gun. I'm a friend.
What do you want?
I read your call for help some days ago. Since then, my Indian friend and I have traveled fast and far to get here.
We certainly need help, but I'm not sure you can be trusted.
I'm handing you a silver bullet. Does it identify me?
Ed, I've heard my father tell of a masked man who carried silver bullets and fought for the right. But Dad never believed he really existed. He wouldn't, of course, but this must be the man.
Have you called on the sheriff, mister?
I didn't think it wise.
And you're right. Dad would take you for an imposter, an outlaw. But he's in serious trouble.
I anticipated that, Miss Hayes. Now tell me all you can about Mountain City, its people, and the Five Numbers gang.
While the Lone Ranger gathered information at the print shop, Tonto scouted the town and overheard much talk about the crimes of the Five Numbers. Meanwhile, the outlaws stood near a bonfire on the P&K railroad track a few miles from town. They had started the fire when they heard the train approaching.
Yeah, she'll round the bend in just a minute.
There she comes, Ham.
We're on a job now. Don't use names.
They've seen the fire. They're stopping the train.
Remember orders. Two and me will get the Wells Fargo box. Three will watch the engine crew, four the passengers, and five the horses.
What's wrong? Is it back out?
Come on, boys. You and your firemen, come out of that engine cab with your hands up.
Now, don't shoot. We're coming.
Get the express car. Here we are.
You, express agent. Open the door, we'll burn the car.
All right, I will. Don't shoot.
The thieves worked with smooth efficiency. They found the heavy strong box of Wells Fargo, but no key to open it.
Wells Fargo don't let us carry any keys to the box.
Well, we haven't time to blow it open. We'll have to carry it away.
It's heavy. No pack horse can carry it to town. If we could only use the engine.
Four has the engine out of commission by this time. We'll have to pack the box as far as we can, then bury it.
Number five, bring up the horses.
It was several hours later. Tonto had joined the Lone Ranger at the print shop, and the two were about to leave for their camp in a nearby pass. The editor was saying,
"Friends, I'm afraid I've let you in for a lot of trouble. Just as I did the sheriff, but I...
Why them fellas ride like that?
That must be a posse.
But somebody wants in from the street.
Here, Tonto, we'll stand behind the press.
Ah. Hey, Ed, open up!
I'm coming! Oh, it's you, Ham. What's happening?
Plenty. The Numbers gang robbed the P&K train tonight. Held it up at the cattle crossing west of town. Got away with the Wells Fargo box.
No, you don't mean it.
Yeah, that's the report from the depot. They say there's $60,000 in the box.
What a haul.
I figured you should know about it, this being your press night.
Who was that just went by? The sheriff and his posse?
Yeah, but they're too slow and dumb to catch a cold.
I suppose so, but why aren't you riding? You're a special deputy, and it looks like you'll soon be sheriff.
Old Hayes don't like my company any better than he does yours, Ed. I aim to go out with my own little posse. Those surveyors who stay at the hotel. You might put that in your write-up.
All right, Ham.
Say, didn't I see somebody in here with you when I came to the door?
Cindy's here.
Now, look, if you've got any manhunters hidden around, bring them out. They can go hunting with me.
You're an obliging hombre, Ham. Well, thanks for reporting the holdup. Not many people are so newspaper-minded. Of course, there's the bandit who left the note about Sheriff Hayes' horse.
Well, you've got to be good to an editor. Or shoot him. So long.
So long, Ham. Cindy, this'll finish your father.
Oh, poor Dad.
I'll bet those outlaws are here in town right now, laughing up their sleeves at him.
Come on, Tonto.
Where are your horses?
In the alley. We'll go out the back way.
Cindy and I will see you out.
Oh, what a beautiful horse.
Get back. There's somebody at the corner.
He's shooting at us.
Me get him.
Ah, Cindy! Cindy!
The curtain falls on the first act of our Lone Ranger story. Before the next exciting scenes, please permit us to pause for just a few moments.
Thank you.
to continue our story. Framed in the light from the print shop door, the Lone Ranger and Tonto had been fired upon by a hidden gunman. As bullets swept the doorway, Cindy, the editor's sweetheart, fell backward.
At your head, she's falling.
I've got her. Oh, Cindy, you poor darling.
Get her inside. I'll close the door.
Right. She's dead. Dead.
No, she's only fainted. Get some water.
Right. Right here, son.
A splinter from the door frame hit her, but she's hardly scratched.
Oh, thank heaven.
There, she's coming to.
Ed, dear, I thought
You're all right, Cindy. You drink this and take it easy.
Someone shot him.
Never mind, dear. The trouble's all over.
That gunman was after Tonto and me, Miss Hayes. He couldn't have seen you.
That means the outlaws know about you and Tonto.
The man who made the robbery report suspected something.
But that was Ham Harker. He wants to be sheriff and probably will be.
He isn't above suspicion. It's Tonto. I'll let him in.
That fella who shoot at us. Run to square. Me follow, but when me get there, him gone.
He could have dodged in any one of a dozen buildings. Did you see Harker?
Well, him gone, too. But plenty of people here shooting. Some coming this way now.
Then we better leave.
Meanwhile, the number one man in the gang of train robbers had burst into the hotel room where his confederates waited. He was panting.
Hey, look out the window, somebody. See if I followed.
All right, Ham. What's the matter?
We heard shooting down the street.
I tried to plug two hombres behind the print shop. I missed.
Who were they?
Detectives, I figure. I had a hunch the editor was hiding somebody. So I watched the back door. Those fellas came out. One looked like an Injun. The other wore a mask.
A mask?
Yeah, that's right. Anything going on outside?
Nobody's coming in the hotel, but I see people running toward the newspaper shop.
Yeah, we've got to get over there ourselves. Won't look right unless we do.
Ham, I'm worried about that box. There's big money in it. We didn't have time to hide it good.
Yeah, in the morning when the posse's back, we'll go out and blow it open. Now let's go see the editor.
A few minutes later, Ham and the supposed surveyors were listening with expressionless faces as Ed gave the crowd in the print shop a self-censored version of the shooting.
That's how it was, gents. I just opened the back door when the fellow opened fire. One of the bullets almost hit Cindy.
Yeah, it seems right odd to me that anyone would want to shoot her.
That's so, Ham. Maybe he meant to get me. A lot of editors are shot.
Yeah. Gents, as your next sheriff, I'm going to get that hombre.
I'm going along with you, Ham.
What for? You got a paper to get out.
My printer's back now. He and Cindy can take care of that.
Ed, it'll be dangerous.
It's a big story, darling. The Observer has got to be in on it.
All right, Ed, let's go.
Holding their horses in check, the Lone Ranger and Tonto descended a steep slope just as day broke and revealed just below them the silent, deserted scene of the train robbery.
You're railroad men.
The sheriff and his men were all over the place last night. I suppose they've trailed the bandits to town by this time.
Posse fellas not trampled this side track. We see where crooks kept horses while they wait for train.
Yes, they waited there.
We count prints of six horses.
Then they only had one pack horse. That's good.
Why you say that?
Because, Tonto, Wells Fargo recently installed new strong boxes in all express cars. They can only be opened by blasting, and they're hard to move. A pack horse burdened with one would give out within a mile or two.
Oh, now me savvy. Them fellas have to hide box.
Yes, let's find it. Come on, Silver.
Get him up, Scout.
Riding slowly, the Lone Ranger and Tonto followed the route over which the posse had trailed the outlaws. A multitude of hoof prints made their search for the money chest so difficult that they had been forced to cut and sharpen poles with which to probe the ground. At length, the masked man drew rein.
Tonto, the roots of these bushes have been disturbed. The leaves are willing.
Me stick pole in there. It hit something 3-4 inches deep. Me get down there. Now me scrape sand away.
I can see it. That's the strong box.
Oh. And what we do now?
Cover it up. The bandits will be back here as soon as they think it's safe. Probably today.
We catch whole bunch then, huh?
Well, they'd lie out of it if we simply captured them here. We've got to catch those outlaws in the act of blowing that safe. Even then, we'll need witnesses who can go to court against them.
Oh, me not think of that.
All right, you stay here and watch. I'm going to town. Montilver!
As the Lone Ranger galloped away, Ham Harker's party approached the scene from a different direction. The number one outlaw and the man known as number two had slowed their horses. As they dropped behind the others, they talked in low voices.
Ham, we can't do anything with that editor tagging along.
Yeah, we'll have to plug him. First, I'm going to take a look through my field glasses at that place where we buried the box.
And what do you see?
There's somebody down there. He's hiding behind a boulder.
What?
It's an engine. Same one who's with the masked man. Ed, come back here.
Sure, man. Get up.
Everybody, pull up. Pull, 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 pull.
What's the matter? Did you sight something?
Yeah, I did. Here, take my glasses.
Yeah, thanks. Say, what did you grab my gun for?
Fellow, that redskin who was in your shop is down there watching where we hid the Wells Fargo box.
So that's it. You fellas are the five numbers.
You catch on. Now, you and I are going down to see the engine.
Why don't we drill the redskin with a rifle?
Dead men don't talk, and I want to know things. By riding in with this editor, I'll take the engine off guard. You boys wait out of sight till I call.
We savvy.
Now, Ed, I'm covering you with a pocket gun, so you'd better act right when the engine sees us. Now, get going.
All right.
Get up, Ed. Get up.
At the sound of hoofs, Tonto peered from his hiding place. He recognized the riders, but saw nothing that indicated the editor was a prisoner. Thinking that his own presence was unknown, he remained motionless. A moment later, the two were upon him. Harker feigned surprise.
Hey, look, Ed, an engine. Oh, boy. Hey, you fella. Savvy English? Get down, Ed.
Easy, boy.
Yeah, I'll talk to him in sign language.
Tonto, watch out!
Don't move or I'll kill you both.
Why you point gun at me? Me, friend.
He's a bandit. He forced me into this.
Come here, boys! Light, and get hold of these fellas.
Sure, steady, boy.
We got him.
All righty.
Now, you red varmint, who are you? Where's the masked man?
Me not talk.
Then I'll gun whip it out of you like this.
Oh, you hit him too hard. He's out cold.
What's that difference? We can get at the box now.
All right, let's crack it.
Meanwhile, the trail-weary sheriff stood at the hitch rail in front of his office. His posse had deserted, leaving him to explain his latest failure to the indignant citizens gathered there. It was a situation that Judge Bolt relished. In his best courtroom manner, he pronounced,
"Sheriff, you no longer have the slightest claim to consideration."
"All right, Judge, I've had enough. Here's my bag."
"Don't do it, Dad. Don't give up now."
"Now, you stay out of this. I told you
Look,
once.
Look, a masked man."
"Why, it's one of the five numbers. He's covering us."
"Steady there, all of you. Hold it.
What do you want?"
"Get mounted, Sheriff. You too. And you,
Do as he says, Dad, please."
"All right, fella. I don't want my daughter hurt."
"He's abducting us, forcing us to go with him at the point of a gun."
"Get mounted, I said."
"All right.
Now, head west and ride hard."
"Get up there.
One, two, there."
As the masked man herded his witnesses along the trail through the mountains, the number two of the outlaw gang tossed a shovel aside and announced,
"There. I got the charge tamped in against the box lid. The fuse is ready to light."
"It'll make a lot of racket, and we don't know where the masked man is."
"Now, muffling it with these bedrolls."
"Yeah, let's use the Indian, too. Put him on top of the charge."
"Why not? Give me a hand, somebody."
"Yeah, I'll help you."
"Wait. This where you want him?"
"Yeah. From here, he goes straight to the happy hunting ground."
"Parker, you can't do that."
"Mr. Editor, you stuck your nose into this. You're getting your big story. Only you'll never print it."
"Now get back, fellas. I'm going to touch off the fuse."
"All right, now."
From the top of a nearby ridge where he had called a momentary halt, the Lone Ranger looked down and pointed.
"Sheriff, what do you see?"
"Hey, there's Ham Harker. Ed Barron, new survey fellas."
"There should be another man, my Indian friend. But he's not in sight."
"Well, what are they doing?"
"One's holding a gun on Ed. Another is lighting something."
But
"There are your five numbers, and they're blowing the Wells Fargo box. Come on, Silver."
"I got the fuse going. Ham, look at it sputter.
Hey, listen. Someone's coming."
"Yeah, it's the masked man.
He's bringing the posse."
"Here, let him have it. Open fire."
"Oh, I'm hit, fellas. Help me. Help me.
Get by those rocks.
Have that powder ready to let go."
"Hold, hold, hold. Drop your gun."
"Light bomb.
Anyone else want to get hurt? Put on your gun.
No, my arm. I give up. Don't shoot again.
Here, Ed, take this gun. You big fella.
Chano's under those bedrolls.
I'll get him.
The fuse. It's already burned into the ground.
Get back. Get back, all of you.
Let me help with Chano.
Come on, then. There, I've got him. Help me drag him away. A little more.
2 seconds at the most.
Down flat. Hit the ground. Face down. I guess the explosion just missed us.
Here come the sheriff and the others. Cindy's with him.
Chano, steady there. You're going to be all right. Don't try to move just yet.
Me hit on head. Water tested all right.
Take charge of these vomits now, Judge.
Yes. Yes, Sheriff, you take charge.
Oh, Ed, darling, what a story this will make for the paper.
Yes, honey, but how did you get here?
I just followed along when the masked man kidnapped the town's leading citizen.
Cindy, Ed, I'm sorry for what I said.
Oh, Dad, we felt pretty badly about what we did, but, well, it's all worked out for the best. Thanks to the masked man and his Indian friend.
Well, I must say he's given the court as much help as he did the sheriff. With evidence such as this, the 5 numbers are bound to be canceled with the rope. Do you hear that, Hawker?
The observer isn't going to be too hard on you, Judge. Cindy and I will be needing you to marry us one of these days.
Now, see here, Ed. I know you got that masked man to come to Mountain City, but who is he?
Well, Cindy...
Dad, he's the man you never believed in. He's the Lone Ranger.
This is a feature of The Lone Ranger Incorporated, created and produced by George W. Trendle, directed by Charles D. Livingston, and edited by Fran Stryker. The part of The Lone Ranger is played by Brace Beamer.